This morning, we're going to look into God's Word on Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28. Today's Mother's Day. We want to talk about mothers and what the Bible talks about the wives and moms in the Bible. First, I want to give you a little history. I read this last year. The history of Mother's Day. It says, our Mother's Day has its roots in England's Mothering Sunday. In the 1600s, young men and women who lived away from home as apprentices or servants returned home on Mothering Sunday, bringing their mothers small gifts or a mothering cake. Mother's Day did not officially begin until 1910 in the United States in West Virginia. Anna Jarvis campaigned to have a day set aside to honor mothers after her mother died in 1905. She convinced her church to set aside a Sunday to honor mothers in 1908. She wore a white carnation to honor her mother, and soon after the tradition of wearing a red carnation to honor a living mother and a white carnation to honor a mother that had died began. In 1910, West Virginia adopted a formal holiday honoring mothers. From 1911 to 1914, most states recognized Mother's Day, and in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed Mother's Day as a national holiday to be held the second Sunday of May. Anna Jarvis was not happy with the way Mother's Day turned out, though. Enraged by the commercialization of the holiday, she filed a lawsuit to stop a 1923 Mother's Day festival and was even arrested for disturbing the peace at a war mother's convention where women were selling white carnations as fundraisers. Anna died in 1948 at the age of 84. She told a reporter shortly before her death that she was sorry she had ever started Mother's Day. She said this is in spite of the fact that every Mother's Day, people sent her cards from around the world thanking her for helping to set aside a day to honor mothers. The commercialization of Mother's Day angered her. We need to keep Mother's Day in perspective on how we're supposed to honor mothers from what God's Word says. We need to make sure we don't get caught up in the commercialization of Mother's Day. We need to honor mothers every day of the year. A few sayings that I remember my mom saying. Son, if your friend jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? Son, don't make me come over there. Son, someday your face is going to freeze like that. And son, you wait till your father gets home. Just a few things that I remember my mom saying to me. Many, many more things I could probably, if I sat down and wrote them down, but just a few things. You see, moms are so important in our lives. We are to honor them. We're going to see that in Scripture. You see, the qualities, the responsibilities of a mom. It says a wise mother should love her children unselfishly, wanting what is best for her children above what is best for herself. A wise mother is gentle with her children. A wise mother exercises great faith for her children. A mother should love her children. A mother should desire and yearn to guide her children to faith in Jesus Christ. A wise mother disciplines her children. A wise mother guides and raises her children to become mature and independent young people. I like what the front of this bulletin, old bulletin, says on a mother. What is a mother? The happiness in a smile, the compassion in a tear, a small yet brave defender against all of our fears, our haven when we're together, our lighthouse when we're apart, our maker of happy memories, and the keeper of our hearts. You see, a mother's love for her children should be an illustration of Christ's love for us. Comfort, tender, and compassion, and forgiving. Now let's go to the text of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28. Says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. This morning we're going to look at, in a select of scriptures, on what does the Bible say about mothers? How we're supposed to treat our mothers. And also, what does the Bible expect of mothers? So let's start with number one. What does the Bible say about mothers? In your bulletin, you might write down these four things we're going to look at in Scripture. On what does the Bible say about mothers? We're supposed to honor mothers. Mothers are supposed to be prudent peacemakers. And we're supposed to obey them, honor them. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Verse number 12. As you know, this is the fifth commandment. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. We're supposed to honor our mothers. Honor is high regard or respect. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. All the men of the community shared in the responsibility of executing the rebellious youth. Capital punishment seems harsh to the modern reader, yet the whole community could not allow the rebellious youth to spread his sin and immoral practices. You see, Israel was set up to the world as God's holy people. They were supposed to be examples to the world. You see, the stubborn rebellious son says, what's not an ordinary rebellious son? He has had a lifestyle of this rebellion. He would not listen to his father or his mother. The parents were held accountable, responsible to the community for their children. And as I said, the elders bore the responsibility for the actions too. The parents, they came and presented the charge of this youth. You see, a glutton and a drunkard. Very interesting is an expression for a good-for-nothing. The rebellious son. I think about my youth. I thank God that we're not living in the Old Testament times. There were areas of my life I could have fell into this. You may be one of them children that falls into this area. That if we were set up like the children of Israel, that the elders would take us and stone us to death. You see, if we would honor our mother, if we would heed the voice of her, and she's a godly mom speaking Scripture to us, we don't have to fear that. The Bible says also about mothers in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 13 and 14. A foolish son is a ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. We'll stop right there. Contentions is strife, dispute, etc. She needs to be a peacemaker. She needs to be a peacemaker in the house. Verse 14 of Proverbs 19. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord, it says. Prudent, exercising sound judgment in practical matters, cautious in conduct, not rash. Managing carefully. When you have that type of wife, that is a blessing from the Lord. The Bible says, Mom, you need to be a peacemaker of that house and be prudent in your ways. Let's go over to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul picks up on this fifth commandment. Children, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. If a person treats his mother as he should, a mother should not be cursed, but a mother should be blessed. Something to think about. To me, it is impossible to exhaust the reasons and the importance for a mother's work in the home. A mother is the hub of the home, which everything else turns upon. Let's consider a few things that I listed here that a mother has on her agenda. A mother is a teacher, a nurse, a counselor, a friend. She's an accountant. She's a maintenance worker. She's a homemaker. She's a cook. She's a secretary. She's a chauffeur. We could keep adding to this list, couldn't we? You see, moms are so important in the home that sometimes we overlook them. But the Bible says that we are to honor moms and obey them in the Lord. Let's look at what does the Bible expect of mothers. What does the Bible expect of mothers? We're going to look at these things. You want to write them down in your bulletin. The Bible expects faith, submission, respect, reverence when their actions are worthy, a giver of instruction and discipline. Let's look at some scripture on this. Let's start with 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of a life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to your remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The word translated genuine, it says here in the Nelson commentary, means unhypocritical. Paul rejoices when he recalls Timothy's faithful grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, whose name means good victory. The prayers, witness, and faith of his godly mother and grandmother were central factors in the spiritual development of Timothy. You see, faith, powered by the Holy Spirit, Mom, as it says in Acts 1:8, when Jesus told the apostles that you will be my witnesses, when you receive power from on high, to go and to share the faith that you have. A wise mother is one who will cry out to God for salvation and spiritual growth for her children and her grandchildren. Her walk with Christ has a powerful influence on them, even when it does not look like it. You see, faith is powerful. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of 2 Timothy 1, 1-7 says, Paul, this is I, Paul, am on special assignment for Christ, carrying out God's plan laid out in the message of life by Jesus. He says, I write this to you, Timothy, the son I love so much. All the best from God and Christ be yours, to be bold with God's gift. He says, every time I say your name in prayer, which is practically all the time, I thank God for you. The God I worship with my whole life in the tradition of my ancestors. I miss you a lot, especially when I remember that last tearful goodbye, and I look forward to a joy-packed reunion. So that precious memory triggers another, your honest faith. And what a rich faith it is, handed down from your grandmother Lois to your mother Eunice, and now to you. And the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, keep that ablaze. God doesn't want us to be shy with His gifts. Be bold and loving and sensible. So number one on this, what does the Bible expect as mothers? Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. That faith powered by the Holy Spirit to witness to your children what God has done for you. Submission. Let's look at submission. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 22 through 24. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Submission. I want to read to you an article on submission. We find it here in the study Bible. Submission. The concept of submission. What kind of submission is Paul advocating in Ephesians? Some hold that Paul is speaking of mutual submission in this passage. They point to the phrase, submitting to one another in the fear of God in chapter 5, as the overall theme of the verses following. According to this view, husbands, wives, parents, and children, masters and slaves, all submit to each other in different ways. This passage certainly teaches a proper Christian response to each other at different levels, as the mutual submission view holds. It is clear that Paul develops two ideas side by side, though. Submission and the appropriate response of the one to whom submission is given. But the mutual submission view does not adequately reflect the meaning of submission in the Greek. The Greek term for submission has a military origins, emphasizing being under the authority of another. The word does not connote a forced submission. Instead, it is a voluntary submission to the proper authority. Thus, Paul seems to be saying that wives should voluntarily place themselves under the authority of their husbands. The same word is used to describe Christians voluntarily submitting to governmental authorities in 1 Peter, and younger people submitting to the wisdom of their elders in 1 Peter. In this passage, Paul gives the illustration of the church submission to Christ. After encouraging wives to submit to their husbands, Paul goes on to describe how children should obey their parents and slaves their masters. This subordination is described in the terms of obedience instead of the terms of voluntary submission. But Paul's major emphasis in this passage is not on submission of wives, but on the duty of those who are in authority. Husbands should imitate the love of Christ. Parents should not provoke children. Masters are not to threaten their slaves. The apostle argues that serving is more important than being in authority over others. You see, Jesus Christ should be the model for us all. Although He, as God's Son, He could have demanded obedience from all. He did not shrink from performing duties of a servant. You see, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples in John chapter 13. If a husband is to be a godly leader, he is to be a servant leader. His role is to lead his wife, but to do so by taking everything about her into consideration and by using his position to set her up for success and give her the opportunity to succeed as a godly wife in submission to himself. So submission, the Bible calls on wives. Respect, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Let's look at reverence. Reverence or reverent. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. This is qualities of a sound church. As you know, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus is a pastoral epistles. It's very interesting that God inspired Paul to write this as the qualities of a sound church. It says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." What a very powerful accountability that God has laid on women. That their actions worthy of reverence, that they should, in this list, admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That's accountability for women. Very powerful. That's why, ladies, you have to strive for reverence. Your actions should be worthy of reverence, respect, love, and awe. Discipline and instruction. The Bible talks about moms in this. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 29:15-17. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. This one here, Proverbs 22:6, says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me read you an article on this, because so many people take this and claim this verse, that if you train your child up in the way he should go, that he's going to live a godly life. I like what this article says here in Proverbs on this text. Train up a child. An infant's smallness and adorable innocence often draw the attention of nearby adults. They know that a newborn life is a gift of great value. But as the infant grows, the parents realize the great responsibility of rearing the child. They know that the child needs to be taught, not just cared for. A multitude of child-rearing books on bookstore shelves attest to that fact, that raising a child takes great wisdom. At the heart of every good parenting principle lies the words of Solomon, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The verb for train means to dedicate. And the word for way generally refers to living correctly in God's sight. Solomon was advising parents to set their child aside for special use, to dedicate him or her to the Lord and His path. The verb train includes the idea of stimulating the child to do good through works or through words of guidance, discipline, and encouragement on the right path. This is a parent's main task, to receive a child as a charge from the Lord and then to dedicate the child to God's ways. Some have taken the line, when he is old, he will not depart from it, as a promise. They believe it is to be a guarantee that proper parenting will always result in the child's salvation. Proverbs, however, present general principles, not promises. This verse gives parents the assurance that the lessons learned in childhood will last a lifetime. Whether this child learns to follow the Lord will in part depend on his or her own choices. But lessons driven home at the crucial stage of a childhood will not go away. Hence, the need for parental discipline and guidance is so important when they are a child. You see, God promises to enable parents for their task, not to make decisions for the child. Each generation is responsible for its own relationship to God. But even without a promise, this proverb remains wise advice for every parent. Dedicating a child to God's way is the best course to set for that child's life. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with their hands. You see, Christian mom, Christian mothers are a great asset to the world. Your godly influence should have a great impact on our society of today. Christian mothers are to be highly honored, because Christian mothers, you are kingdom builders, you are character constructors, and you are recruiting agents for the eternal realms that go way beyond the present temporal life. As we conclude this morning, mother, moms, your children need to know your salvation in Jesus Christ. As we all know, if the Lord tarries, we are all going to die one of these days. We're going to leave this temporal world for eternity. You see, mom, your children need to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. They should not have any doubts in their minds that when you die, where you're going to go. They need that peace of heart that comes from knowing you will be with the Lord Jesus Christ in a much better place, where all the world's sorrows and headaches are gone, and there is singing and rejoicing forever. Children need to know that. Mothers, I want to leave you with the following scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. At the point of your conversion, when God grants you salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ, you're baptized into the body of the church by the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Heavenly versus demonic wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. First Peter chapter 3. Verses 1 through 6. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, where they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. As we close this morning, I want to read from a commentary of Pastor John MacArthur. Wives, instead of being consumed with their external appearance, Christian wives must be devoted to beautifying the hidden person of the heart. They should manifest the inner beauty of spiritual virtue. Paul commanded believing women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. A believing wife should be characterized not by passing earthly fashions, here today and gone tomorrow, but by literally the imperishable quality. Christian wives should be devoted not to temporal beauty, but the lovely adornments of godliness. Gentle comes from the word referring to humble in a meek attitude, expressed in patient submissiveness. Quiet is still or tranquil, I should say. Such character in the spirit of a believing wife is the true inner beauty that is precious in the sight of God, and also is effective in making her not only valuable and attractive to her husband, but demonstrating the beauty and the value of a regenerated heart, powered by the Holy Spirit. It is certainly possible for a woman's appearance to be so unkept and unadorned as to embarrass and discourage her husband, to whom such indifference in the name of Christ would make the gospel offensive and be just as spiritual detrimental as to much attention given also to the externals. Ladies, you have a great responsibility here. You see, the Lord is most pleased when a believing woman's modest yet thoughtful and loving adornment reflects the inner beauty regenerated and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see, Christ then can be seen that He's the one fashioning her. As we close this morning, God's little promises this morning for us. We all know the verse. We could probably quote it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Right? Moms, this morning, that love that God showed the world through His Son Jesus Christ is the perfect example of your love to your family. Psalm 118 verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we close this morning once again, I do want to thank You for Your Word. And I want to pray, Lord, for those who are listening, that You will open their ears to what has been said this morning, that You will draw them unto Yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit and speak to their heart if they don't know You, Christ, as their Lord and Savior, that You will grant them that salvation. Lord, I want to pray for the mothers that's listening, that's going to listen to the CD, that they will put their faith and confidence in You, Christ, that they will take the Scriptures that were written and read this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to apply them to their heart, that they will seek to be godly women, that they will lean not on their own wisdom and understanding, but on the Scriptures, and ask daily for Your Holy Spirit to bring them into that truth. We thank You for the moms that You put in our lives. I pray that You will bless them and protect them from the evil one. And Lord, as we close, if there's Christians out there that's treating their mothers not according to what Your Word says, convict them of that, Lord. Help us not to forget the blessings of a mom that You put into our lives. Thank You for Your Word, Father, that was inspired by Your Holy Spirit. Sink it deep into our hearts for Your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.